You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Luke the ninth chapter. You know, I've been teaching on Sunday mornings for a while on Jesus being the God in the flesh, the fullness of God, that when you see Jesus, you see truth. Truth is not just a doctrine, it's not just a teaching. Truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus is a person. He was God in the flesh, yes, but he lived and he walked and he breathed and he interacted with people and he healed people and he forgave people and he stopped storms and raised the dead. I mean, he was active. He was involved. He was moving the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum. And so when we see him, we see God. We often think about God in terms of concepts. You know, God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. You know, those are just... That comes from Greek philosophy, and we think in terms of God being everywhere, God being all-knowing, God being all-powerful, God being impassible. That's a Greek word meaning has no emotion. He can't be moved by anything you do or I do. He doesn't. But see, all those are just Greek terms. Those aren't biblical terms. But sometimes we just relegate God to those terms, and we think of God absolutely untouchable, unreachable, unknowable. He's out there somewhere. He's God, and we're not, you know. But that's not the Bible picture. Jesus came along and says, hey, look, I'm God. Amen. Yeah. Man, he opened up blind eyes, and he forgave people. And it was just a totally different idea or concept than what people had, especially the Greeks and even the Jews. Their concept wasn't right either. It was a very legalistic concept. And we often think God's just a policeman passing out tickets as soon as we do something wrong, you know, the ogre with a stick, the great judge. But he is the lover of our soul. He is holy. Yes, there is a judgment day. There is a heaven and a hell. But people don't go to hell because God sends them there. They go to hell because they don't receive the gift that he offered of Jesus Christ. A lot of people go to hell, and it's a bad place. Don't want to go there. We need to tell people about it, you know. But the good news is that God made a way where nobody would have to go to hell because he loves us. Hallelujah. And Jesus comes along, and I'm amazed even New Testament, even New Covenant, even nowadays, to this day that we're living in, that we've got God like an ogre with a stick. I mean, you know, he just, and a lot of Old Testament scriptures will be quoted too, a lot of judgment type scriptures. I believe you will be judged for your sins, and I believe there are consequences for your sin. I don't believe God's always doing that. That's just the way the world works. If you jump off the roof, you hit ground. That's called gravity. Are you with me? God didn't judge you on your way down. You violated a law. It wasn't God's judgment. Well, you might say he made the world in such a way that you cannot sin and be blessed. And you can't change that, but that's not God's judgment. That's just the law. That's the rules. I mean, God told us what they were. All you got to do is stop jumping off the roof. You know what? You stop hitting the ground. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Stop sinning. Hey, you won't have all those problems you've been having, you know. It's not necessarily judgment. Maybe it was the way God made the world and the consequences of sin and the reward of righteousness and so on. There's a great day coming, a great judgment day coming. But we're not living in a day of judgment. We're living in a day of grace. Still consequences for sin. We see that every day. Are you with me? But Jesus came along and he showed us God. And boy, he looked pretty good. I'll tell you, when I read my Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God looks pretty good. Looks like he loves me, like he's on my side or something. That he really wants me to do right. That he wants me to live right and love people and so on and so forth. And so a lot of times we're pulling out these scriptures, especially out of the Old Testament, many times out of context. Many times it's not even our covenant. And we'll often say, well, you know, that's what the Word says. But the question should not be just what the Word says. I think the question should be, is that what Jesus did? Or is that what Jesus would do? Because I can show you scriptures where you take a lamb and you lay him on an altar and you slit his throat and you let the blood run down the altar to forgive your sins. It's in the scripture. It's in the Bible. But I can guarantee you can write this down. You can put it in paper if you want to. We're not going to be slaying no lambs on this altar on Sunday morning and letting the blood run down the steps. That is in the Bible. That is a scripture. But see, that's a covenant I'm not in. You're not in. I'm not in that covenant.
That's right.
And that was all symbolic of Jesus anyway. Jesus came along. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We don't have to re-slay Him. He'd been slayed one time and forever sat down on the right hand of God, making good our eternal redemption. So you have to understand, when you look at Scripture, Scripture has to be interpreted through the filter of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is not just a prophet, a teacher, another person telling us about God. Jesus is God. Even Scripture doesn't all have the same authority. Jesus' words have the highest authority of all words in the Bible. Sure, we're getting quiet in here. I believe it's all God's Word, don't get me wrong. But Jesus' words cleared up all the confusion. Jesus Himself cleared up all the confusion. Because He was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. Oh, the law came by Moses, John tells us in the first chapter. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you catch that? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? Did we get grace and truth from Moses? No. We didn't get the whole truth. We sure didn't get any grace. We got a law. Got a lot of law. Go read Leviticus 23, talks about the feast. Leviticus, the whole book. All those laws, man, I mean, there's all kinds of laws. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Wow. Hey, we got the prophets of old. You know, they prophesied. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, you know, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, all those guys. I mean, they prophesied and they prophesied. But still, now, wait a minute. We got some truths about God, and we got some bits and pieces about God there, but we didn't get the whole truth till Jesus showed up. Till Jesus showed up, we just got people prophesying about God, giving us little bits and pieces and telling us about His coming. They all looked for His coming. But when Jesus showed up, God showed up. Emmanuel, God with us. And all of a sudden, the confusion leaves. And truth comes, and focus comes. And now we have a focus point. When we read Scripture, we have a focus point, and that is Jesus. So when we stand on Scripture, or quote Scripture, or flow with Scripture, or preach Scripture, it has to pass the Jesus test. It has to, because all the Bible points to Him. The Old Testament pointed forward to Him and His coming. Most of the New Testament points back to the fact that He came. Hallelujah. But He is the central point. He is the one who changed history. He is the one who procured for us eternal life. He is the one that paid the price for our sins. There was a moment in time where the Creator and the Maker of all the universe took on a body and became a man and walked and talked with us and dwelt among us, who was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Lived a perfect sinless life and hung on a cross and died and went to hell and rose again. Because the tomb couldn't hold Him, the devil couldn't hold Him, death couldn't hold Him, and He arose victorious and conquered, a conqueror, more than a conqueror, conquered hell, death, and the grave. This Jesus, that's who we're talking about. What did He do? What did He say? If I'm going to use Scripture, I got to filter it through Jesus. I'm going to have to look at, did Jesus do that? Did Jesus say that? Because we often quote people in the Bible. I love this. We'll quote Job at funerals. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did you know Job was wrong when he said that? That was not a correct statement. That was not a biblically correct statement. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. That you might have it more abundantly. And if you read Job in the very first chapter, you can find out real quick who did all that. It says Satan did it. It even tells us who did it. But Job wasn't privy to that information. He wasn't party to that information. He didn't know about it. He didn't know what the narrator or the writer of Job knew. Job was a player. He wasn't the writer of the book. He was just a player in that actor in that play. And so you can just read Job and find out. Job said some things. He loved God. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He said things that contradict what Jesus said. Now look, you going to hang on to Job when Jesus said something else? I mean, how do you even, you and I can't even make that call. I mean, Jesus said the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. He says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Said he was a liar and the truth's not in him. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Yeah, but Job said. Well, now who in the world is Job? Did Job die for your sins? I know that's in the Bible. I see that's there. But let's put it in context now. Are you out there?
Yes.
See, everything in the Bible is truly stated, but everything in the Bible is not necessarily a true statement. Goliath said he was going to kill David, take his head off. That was a lie. He didn't kill David. He did say that. It is recorded. It is there. You know, but it's truly stated. He did truly say that. But it was not a true statement. Come on now. I got about 10 minutes. Y'all going to have to get with me here. Luke 9 chapter. Y'all found it? An awesome example here. Luke 9. I'm not saying, don't you get the idea in any sense, form, or fashion that I'm saying, hey, the Bible's not the Word of God, I'm not supposed to believe the Bible. No, you are supposed to believe the Bible. You're supposed to stand on the Bible as it pertains to Jesus. You're supposed to interpret it as Jesus interpreted it. I think if we need a commentary, then we ought to go to Jesus' commentary. We got Matthew Henry commentaries. We got Weiss Word Studies. You know, we've got, goodness, Calvin's got commentaries. John Wesley's got commentaries. There's commentaries... There's Keel and Dietz, always called Kibble and Bits. There's all kinds of just to remember, you know. There's all kinds of commentaries, all kinds of commentators you can read. But I tell you what, I think Jesus did the best job on it, don't you?
Yeah.
If Jesus comments and he explains something, then he's got the final word.
Yep.
Just to shorten this up, make it a little faster, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. It's also in Mark, the 9th chapter. It's in Luke, the 9th chapter. So here we're reading Luke 9. And what happened was Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus onto a mount. And the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured among them. And he looked like he was whiter than snow. His garments gleamed and glistened. And Peter, James, and John kind of got a little tired and fell asleep. One of those kind of services, you know. And they were kind of half awake, waking up here. And there's Jesus, and he's talking to Moses, and he's talking to Elijah. Whoa. And it says they talked of his decease that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And so Peter wakes up. He doesn't know what to do. He's just overwhelmed by this. There's a lot in this because it's interesting that he knew that was Moses and he knew that was Elijah. He never saw them before. But see, in the spirit you know things. In the spirit you don't know in the natural. Well, I know my folks up in heaven. Hey, it's amazing you know anybody down here. Up there's where you really know. You step off into heaven, you're going to know everybody. You know people you never met. You just know by the Spirit. You'll know. Because the spirit world is a world of knowing. It's a world where there is no confusion. When you get off into God's world up there in heaven. So he saw in the Spirit. He saw Moses. He saw Elijah and Jesus there. And Peter said, and it says, because he didn't know what to say. He said, oh Lord, this is good. I think we'll just make 3 tabernacles. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's put them all on the same level. Let's put them on the same plane. Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophets, and then Jesus. It's all the same. Let's just mix it all up and just all, it's all good. All tastes good. It's all the same. No, it's not. No, wait a minute. Now, Jesus is not Jeremiah. Don't you think for one moment that Jesus and Paul are the same two people. They're not. They are not. Jesus is not Moses. No, sir. No way. No, for he is not. Now, come on. This is not the Quran. This is the Bible. Jesus wasn't just another prophet.
Amen.
Wasn't just another man. We don't build tabernacles to Paul, Peter, Moses, Elijah, the law, the prophets, Jesus. God wasn't real happy about that. And it says here, after he said that, Luke the 9th chapter, 34th verse, while he was saying this, Peter said this, I just gave you a quick synopsis. A cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. Whoa, the glory of God came on the scene. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. What should we do when we read something in the prophets? What should we do when we read something in the law? And then we read something Jesus said, and it's just a little confusion. Don't know really what to do. Put it all on the shelf? No. We hear Jesus is what we do. If we put anything on the shelf, we put the law and the prophets on the shelf, and we hear Jesus. Because Jesus is, he trumps the prophets and he trumps the law in every case. Because he is the Word made flesh. He is God in the earth. He came and showed us God. He didn't just tell us about him, he is God. And did you know he was challenged with Scripture many times in his ministry? They used Scripture to challenge Jesus. Wow. Y'all out there. I'm just helping you keep things straight, you know, because I read a lot. How about you? You read your Bible? I hope you do. Sometimes you run across things kind of hard to reconcile. You think, wow, I don't know about that. But see, if you have Jesus in the forefront of what you're believing and preaching and teaching and understanding, then it clears everything up. And if there's a contradiction, well, I'm going to put everything else on the shelf, but I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm not putting Jesus on the shelf and go with that. I'm going to go with Jesus and put everything else on the shelf. Now notice the ninth chapter. All right. Man, running out of time. 40th verse. We're still in the ninth chapter. They just came off the Mount of Transfiguration. They just heard this voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." We don't worship all of them the same. Moses is not in the same category with Jesus. Elijah's not in the same category with Jesus. Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We need to pass some coffee out around. Maybe we need to all drink coffee on Sunday morning or something. Okay. 40th verse. Now John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him, saying, he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, don't you forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side." I mean, that's good. I like that. We're not in competition. You know, if there's another church doing what we're doing, hey, more power to them. Praise God to get more people. We'll get more people that way. That's why we're pro-church. You know, we're not... That's not the right spirit anyway. Amen. Now it came to pass, 51st verse, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he, getting ready to get crucified, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went. They entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. And they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. You know, your face speaks volumes. Did you know that? A lot of body language in your face. A lot of problems in marriage come from not what was said, but what came on the face. You know, Brent will say something I don't like, and here goes that eyebrow, you know. What? And she'll go, what? I say, what? She says, I saw that. I didn't say a word. Well, I didn't. I didn't say a word. I went, yeah, but you did that thing. You know, I saw that. I saw that. So Jesus, evidently, he wasn't focused on that city. He was looking at Jerusalem. And they didn't receive him because he, I don't know what they did, but he wasn't well received. Can you imagine Jesus not being well received? That's what it says. It says they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples saw this, being full of love like they are, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did?" That's what a lot of preachers like to do when you're not listening. Hey, there's scripture on that. Elijah did it. It's in the Bible. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't it stand up here and say, okay, here we go. You're crispy critters, you're toast. I got a scripture right here. They're quoting a word to Jesus. Notice what he said. 55th verse. He said, "But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." I love that. You know that is in the Old Testament? It did happen, and it was a prophet of God that did it. Jesus said, we don't do that. Now, you want to be Elijah, you go right ahead. I'd rather be Jesus. Huh? You want to copy Elijah? You want to be like Elijah? You want everybody to say he's like Elijah? I'd rather them say he looks like Jesus to me. There is a difference. And that's not all. There's other scriptures and we don't have time because time's running out. But the way to really focus in on what the true meaning of Scripture is, real simple. Just filter everything through Jesus. He gives us the true meaning. You say, well, what was going on with Elijah? I don't know. I don't understand everything. I might have some opinions on that, but I do know this. I know I'm not supposed to be doing that. Because that's what Jesus said. Amen? And I believe Jesus. How about you? Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives to save them. We don't pray curses down on abortion clinics and pray the gay bars blow up. You know, we're against homosexuality, but we love the homosexual. We want them to repent. We want them to come to Jesus. Anyone's ever had an abortion, God doesn't hate you. I mean, that's wrong. We're against it. The church should make a stand on that. But we don't hate people. We don't hate people that commit adultery. We don't hate people that lie. We're against lying. We're against adultery. But we're not here trying to blow up and shoot abortion doctors and blow up abortion clinics. Are you kidding me? That's not the spirit we're of. We're not of that spirit. This is Christianity. This is not the Muslim faith. We're Christians. We're believers. Jesus is our example. He's our guide. He's our Lord. We follow Him. Are you with me? And so that's how we interpret Scripture, through Jesus. I can't be pulling these Scriptures out of the Old Testament all out of context and just slap Jesus right in the face. I'll tell you, and if I have time, maybe next week we'll get into this. They came to Jesus and just tried to pin Him on Scripture more than once. And He wouldn't play that game. Because it wasn't the Spirit that we're of. We're under a new covenant. The Spirit we're of is the Spirit of God, and who saves lives and loves lives, and Jesus is our leader. We have no right to follow anyone but Him.